It's interesting that you opened this whole idea with looking at the Hippocratic Oath and the fact that it actually been not always adhered to. But does that alter the fact that simply because a law is ignored, that doesn't mean, or an oath is ignored, doesn't mean perhaps we shouldn't ask people to at least consider taking one, does it? Do you think it might have an effect if we tried to develop some sort of set of ethics that we could apply both to developers and to governments about how technology is actually affecting us? They might break it, but at least saying it might make them think about it, mightn't it?
So one of the sections that I didn't read, and I cut it in the interests of time, is that there actually are already a number of codes of ethics for developers and computer programmers, some going back to the 1940s, some created by the professional associations for computer scientists. There have been a number agreed at a kind of regional and international level. They're just not as widely known as the Hippocratic Oath. The Hippocratic Oath is one that members of the public know, even though it's for the medical profession. I don't think the problem is so much that computer scientists don't have ethics. I've worked with a lot of computer scientists. I work in technology companies, and ethics is quite strong for a number of companies. I do think it comes back to this notion that we've built our culture on, which is that government doesn't understand us. We are not accountable in the same way that other industries are.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a bit of sophistry to say government doesn't understand us. Is it more a case of we just want to be free to develop what we want, because many, many technology developers and researchers love the idea of pure research. They, once they conceive of an idea, they're totally challenged and wish to go and do it. They don't really want to be held back by the idea of, well, is this going to be good for everybody? They just simply want to see if they can do it, don't they?
And I think that's that is a tension that exists across all engineering and science. You're absolutely right. It's not necessarily, when I said governments don't understand us, I meant they don't understand technology and how it works. So if they tried to regulate it, they do it poorly. But definitely, in another section of the book, I talk about this growing tension in the machine learning community, a subset of the kind of AI field, where there's this real rift growing between those who want to get on and do it, work out the theoretical implications, the consequences later, but don't restrict innovation and engineering and ingenuity, and the other side saying, hang on, we don't quite understand what we're doing yet. We need to slow it down, give ourselves some safeguards. And I think that plays out across every industry, whether you're looking at aviation, pharmaceuticals. You have kind of those who want to go fast to discover new things, and those who worry about the potential unintended consequences.
So do you think in all of this that, for instance, look at the general public and the consumer, is there a danger here for all of us? You know, because that's what we usually think of. When we ask government to legislate, we're asking them usually to protect people. And so from a consumer point of view, we might be taking on technology which isn't fully tested, or where we're made promises which we can't actually check out. Now how do we get around this one as consumers?
That's very much the focus of the whole book. The book looks at the way we're designing predictive systems right now. So we're starting to use machine learning in healthcare, in delivery of government services, to identify people who are suitable for different kinds of jobs. And yet, in some instances, depending on the types of models designers are using, we don't quite understand how they work yet. There are real problems with brittleness in systems. There are problems with not only saying I have a very accurate system, it is very good, but actually having to prove that your system is as good as you hold it out to be. And so for consumers, and this is a really quickly growing debate, it's how do we protect consumers? How do we ensure consumers are able to understand how decisions are made, understand how these systems interact with them, and most importantly, challenge them if they are incorrect? Particularly because we think of a lot of automated systems as inherently neutral and correct. That's our approach to computers. When your computer's not working, you're not thinking about all of the innards of that computer system and why it may not be working. It's just, oh, like, computer says no. But something must be going on. And that's what I think is the tension and why I wanted to bring the humans back into the picture with this book is these systems are not magic. They did not come from elsewhere. We built them. We decided what we used as data for them. We can make mistakes. And so as consumers, we need to be less deferential to these AI systems and ask questions.